love me, yeah they love me. First love yourself. For that, and God we trust. Trust me, I don't trust myself. Your jewelry, I get it too. No show.
Welcome back to It Is What It Is. This episode is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. The app is an easy way to make some cash just by making picks on your favorite players. Underdog is available in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, and New York, just to name a few. Make sure to support the show by hitting the link in the bio and downloading the Underdog Fantasy app. They'll also match your first deposit up to $100, and you get a special pick when you sign up. I'm Treasure Wilson, aka Stat Baby, along with your hosts, Mace and Cam.
Mace, what's up, man? How you doing?
Killer was good.
Everything good. I can't complain, man.
Yeah.
What's going on?
The ladies waving at you.
What's new? It's been going on for decades. They've been waving at me, man.
Let's go.
Been waving at me, man. You know, it's hard being out there. You know, I gotta realize I'm, you don't know how many ladies I turn away a week, weekly, man. Shit as wild as, you know, and I'm not, and listen, man, I'm not here to be, you know, be braggadocious like I was the other day. Sometimes I just have to do that. But I think older men are in style, man. I be telling bitches in their 20s, I be like, yo, I'll fuck your life up, shorty. This is not what you want. This, I will really fuck your life up because, you know, some girls aren't ready to be fucked and not thought about again. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. So that may hurt.
Hey. So, not thought about again.
Yeah, you may, you know, if you... I tell them, look, are you ready to be fucked and not thought about again? Think about that. So I'm not saying that goes for every female. You know, I got to like you, but sometimes, you know, some females ain't it like that for that as well, you know? Didn't mean to get start the show with that. I just saying, ladies, wait.
That is what it is. Okay, today we are joined with our analyst, Maurice Claret.
Mo, what's up, man? What's good?
Hey, I'm representing for Bruce Fleroy.
The glow! The glow, yeah! You seen the glow? You seen the glow? Exactly.
The glow!
The glow, yeah, my man! That's my man, he seen the glow, Bruce
Mo,
Fleroy.
Mo, you back.
Bruce Fleroy.
I'm back.
Yo, let me tell you something too, Mo. Listen, and pause this or whatever you want to say, but listen, man. When you was in the studio the other day, man, you keep yourself in shape. It isn't like you're in your 20s. I'm not going to say age if you don't, but you're very much, you know, we're the poster child for what niggas supposed to be looking like. Because a lot of these young niggas is on dope. These niggas is on pills. They drinking lean. Nah. Them niggas look bad, yo. Niggas looking bad, man. Niggas, yo, because you know sometimes, hey, you know what the new shit is? When niggas be like, these old ass niggas, that don't hurt my feelings, nigga. That don't, because I look better than you. Pause, my nigga. You look terrible. You can't hurt my feelings with that, nigga. If we just did this right here, I'm 32. Maybe 31. That's a fact, man.
Hey, I'm 40. I stay in shape. I'm good. Yeah. Well, I will say this. So I watched the comments and niggas be trying to clown my dark spots right up here, right?
Okay.
And just for all you niggas in the comments all season, this ain't from a football helmet. This ain't from a do-rag or a hat. This comes from Mace from the police for like all the people who want to know. But I've always been scared to go to the dermatologist because I didn't know if I was going to get it fixed right. But I got to find a good dermatologist somewhere so they don't fuck my face up and have me
looking. Elaborate on that a little more when you say it comes from the police.
Yeah, so back when I got arrested and eventually went to prison, I was running from the police, right? And so you know when you run, they're going to fuck you up, you know, once they catch you. So I was in a high-speed chase, and so I ran, or I pulled over, they busted the tires, and then when they was getting me out the car, they sprayed the mace. And so when they sprayed me, I got arrested like at 3 in the morning. So you know when you go to the 3 in the morning, ain't no nursing staff, ain't no support staff to help you wash the mace off your face. So I went to court the next morning, and then all the mace had basically burnt into my skin. And so from there, I go to prison. It ain't like you can go from the county jail to the dermatologist to prison. So I ended up going to prison. It was on my face for like until I got out of jail. And then when I got out of jail, you know, I was always scared to go to a dermatologist to get my face fixed. So it just kind of stayed like that. But since you was you know, speaking about the positive affirmations about us brothers looking young and taking care of ourselves, I had to let that be known too. And once I get this skin together, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna be all right.
That's what's up, man. Yeah. That's what's up.
Yeah. And you still look young, so bump what they're talking about. I don't know, that's all.
Yeah, man, fuck them niggas. Somebody always gonna have something to say.
Yeah, literally always something to say. So you good. Cool. Okay.
Real quick before we start the show, I spoke to Gilbert Arenas. Gil said, now, Gil said that we he didn't say this exactly, but basically we fell for the clickbait. He was online live and people was pausing him. On his live show, he said that we all family, we all underdog. He said he don't take nothing we say personally, but they took that clip and then put a, you know, for the thumbnail at the bottom, clap back at Cam or is what is or whatever. But he said that we family, he would never do that. And that was for people who was coming at him on his live show who kept saying pause of course, because of his situation. But he just wanted us all to know that it wasn't coming at us.
Mm. That's really good. Because I didn't mean what I said.
I told you. Listen, what happens is sometimes we got to defend ourselves.
Yeah. So we're just going to go Kaiser Soul and say, you know, I'm really a nice guy. You got to get to know me.
Yeah, but he was like, he doesn't take nothing personal. Even whatever we said as a collective, he said he wouldn't take nothing personal, that we all family. But he just wanted us to know that that's what was going on in his life, he said, because they tried to cancel him a couple weeks ago. Oh. So whatever. Moral story is I spoke to him and he said it wasn't about us. So just wanted to clear that up.
Good to know.
Yeah. Shout out No Chill Gil.
Shout out No Chill Gil.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get into the first topic. Cavs coach JB Bickerstaff believes gambling has gone too far. He said, the amount of times I'm standing up there and we may have a 10-point lead and the spread is 11 and people are yelling at me to leave the guys in so we can cover the spread. It's ridiculous. But again, I understand the business side of it, the nature of the business of it, but it is something that I believe has gone too far. What do you guys think about his view? Maurice, we'll let you go first.
It ain't going too far. I think they just getting started. You know what I mean? Once the gambling to expand all 50 states and you have uninformed, intoxicated gamblers, that's what they're going to do, right? And I laugh for two reasons. The first reason was I said, man, when black people or niggas are in roles of authority, like people don't be respecting their authority. You know what I'm saying? So for them to say crazy stuff to them and just violate them in that way, that was one thing, right? And then the second part of this whole thing was this is about people who gamble. And I was saying to myself, I got two homeboys, right? They love to gamble. They watch the show. They do all that. But some of the reasons that these niggas be gambling, they be like, last time the nigga had the red shoes on, they won by 7. You know what I'm saying? So they'll go ahead and play off like some of the dumbest shit. Like, what I would do, I just encourage dudes. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? So I just say, look, if you gonna gamble, I know we come on the show, we joke, and we give takes. But take the humor, set it aside. But if you gonna gamble, at least educate yourself. It's so much information. Have some sort of strategy. And you have to take the good with the bad. But I just thought to myself, like, this stuff ain't going to stop no time soon. Gambling is a lot easier. But my advice to the guys who are, you know, talking crazy, you know, take the good with the bad. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
Look, they made JB Bickerstaff, you're bickering at the end of the day.
Bickerstaff.
Yo, my nigga. Yeah. You getting mad at the fence? See, this is shit I don't like about this shit. Yeah. Is that it's like this? Like I'm trying to think of it from a street perspective. Like, yo, you want to lock the users up, but not the dealers.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, I'm pretty sure them fans that's yelling and screaming at him. I'm not even pretty sure they didn't invent the rules of the gambling in that state. So if the rules of the gambling are in place for that state or that city or whatever the case may be, you can't be mad at a fan for having an opinion. Now it's a distance you need to keep. It's your personal space. But if somebody yells that out, these fans didn't make the rules. You know how many times we've been to my crib, Duke the God going crazy, or Duke the God will go in his room for a day and a half, pout and everything because he didn't hit a parlay. You know, parlays are hard to hit. And so I say, Duke, how much you put up? Nigga said, $5, man. I say, yo, my nigga. Yo, like, right up here.
And how much nigga, was he going to win?
$150.
Yeah. Stayed in the room for $150.
For a day and a half, but he said, him, you not looking to flip. So, it's a fact, you know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, with all these new gambling rules and everything else, people like Duke thinking like, damn, if I put up five, that's a phone bill for somebody. That's a light bill. That's something that they looking at that they saying I can get over with. So I don't think JB, I feel what he's saying, but you can't get mad at the people gambling. It's the rules and the laws that they put in place for that particular state. So I get it, but at the same time, it's just getting started. Like Mace just said, or Mo just said, I'm not sure which one of y'all said it, but it's just getting started. I was talking to my man Larry, who's here right now. We got to think about this. BT. Sports Center, not even Sports Center, ESPN. Has gambling on it now.
Yeah.
You go to
That's crazy.
You go to First Takers gambling, you go to different shows gambling. It's on ESPN. And what I was about to say is, you know, talking to my man Larry, who's a professional gambler at a high level, you know, not this $5 parlay shit, you know, tens of hundreds of thousands he bets. They're actually coming out with technology now to gamble from your television. So you can actually be on your remote in the near future and push a button from your television to place a bet. JB, get used to it, nigga. This is what's going on right now, nigga. So you mad now, tomorrow you gonna be pissed.
And then he's asking for security from the people that's at the game because they're making it extremely difficult, especially if they're right behind the bench, they paid a lot of money and they're like, yo, we need you to put such and such back in the game. And then they're yelling at them. You know, it could be really a distraction, but I would think it's the same way for the referees. They're like, come on, my nigga.
Or players if you're playing away. Yeah. Or players if you're playing away. Same thing.
Yeah, so it's definitely an added pressure. But, you know, everything is changing around here. It's like the kid says, it's 2024. You got to get used to it.
And then now for another interesting topic, Long Beach State Athletic Director said he fired their men's basketball head coach to inspire them. He said, my belief and hope is that by doing what I did and the timing of it, they would play inspired, and that's what they did. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but it worked. So thoughts on his logic and taking credit for it. Maurice first.
I don't know if he was the one who inspired him to win, but I definitely thought to myself, I said, man, he did this to a white guy. And I was like, because I just don't see like this going over well, you being able to fire a dude, but then the dude has to coach. You know, the coach is still actually actively coaching and they went out there and won. And I was like, man, just some shit I just don't think you can get off with niggas. You know what I'm saying? This was one of them. But it was crazy to hear that, you know, he fired a dude at the end of the season and then the team ended up being able to advance to the tournament. And it was just, it was a scenario I never heard of before. And so, I don't know, it was pretty crazy when I seen it.
Yeah, so did they beat Arizona? Is that what you're saying?
They beat whoever they played last, they beat. So they was getting ready to go. Him and the head coach had sat down. They talked and said, hey, man, basically we got to get a change of leadership, but he kept him in place. And so I had never heard of somebody firing somebody, but then actively letting them finish out the season. If it's happened before, I probably just never paid attention to it. And so whoever that they played, they beat. And then, you know, the coach was like a good spirit about it. And I just thought to myself, I was like, man, you know, he has a great attitude to be let go and, you know, being able to transition out of it. So I don't know. It just sounded crazy to me when I seen it. I had never heard of it before.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because I just heard that they lost by 20 to Arizona. So that made no sense.
Thanks, Nick, for that as well.
Yeah, no, Nick. Thanks, Nick. Yeah, why would you fire the man and then tell him to go work? It's like, I don't know anybody's going to go out and do a good job if they tell you you're fired but go out there and run the window for Wendy's. No, you're not going to be a good servant. You're going to be throwing people's burgers, all of this. It's like, what was he thinking? Did he think this was going to actually work? They should fire him for firing him. That's what I think. That's the dumbest thing I heard for AD to do, especially while they're going into the tournament. You need morale, not to break the morale.
I don't know this for a fact, but if I had to put money on it, the best niggas on the team went to the AD and said, this nigga wildin'. I don't fuck with him. I don't fuck with him. And I can't play with the nigga. You know, that's just my opinion. This was not the athletic director's decision. This is the top niggas on Long Beach State saying, we can't produce with this nigga. I'm not fucking with the schemes. I don't like the way he's running the play. I actually don't like the way he's talking to me. So if you want me to stay here, I think we may need to make an adjustment in leadership because I can't really see myself playing for this nigga. Because a lot of times the AD, not saying that they don't understand the sport, but they're covering, an athletic director of a university covers every sport in the school. So It's not, a lot of us just tend to think of baseball, football, basketball, but you got to think of lacrosse. You got to think of swimming. You got to think of all the sports this goes on into a university. And I think This was the players. They went behind the nigga back and was like, yo, your man is wilding, man. I mean, this is obviously why we can't win. And the reason that he kept him on, to me, and this is all speculation, is that the athletic director went to the coach and was like, I can't fire you right this second, but niggas ain't happy. So, you know, you my man, I'll fuck with you. But let's just tell niggas you fired and you finish it out and see how it go. That's what I take from hearing this story. That's what I get from that.
Yeah. I mean, to Cam's point, if they went and told the AD this, then they shouldn't lose by 20 because they know they're getting their request from the AD. So let me hear from you, Killer. Why do they go out and lose by 20?
No, the thing about it is they lost in the tournament. They wasn't even going to get in the tournament. The thing is, what they're saying is they fired them, and now when they fired them, they made it to the tournament.
Oh.
So they was basically saying that we ain't going to get in the tournament like this. Then when they make it to the tournament, niggas like, tried to tell you, nigga, we made it to the tournament. Then they get to the tournament and get spanked. But that was their fight to say, well, then if you're the players and you go back to AD, we're building though.
Next year is going to be different.
Yeah, next year.
More people coming through the portal. Everybody's in agreement to get rid of him. More players going to want to play here.
Yeah, so that's what I take from that. That was my take.
So the argument that a lot of people are making, and I want to get you guys' thoughts on this, they were saying that they fired the head coach with no time left on his contract, so he might not be getting health benefits, although he's been there for 17 years. You guys feel like they could have at least handled the situation better. How do you think that they could have went about it instead?
His health benefits? How old is he, Mo?
62.
Yeah.
Yeah, he need his medical. He definitely need his medical. If he been there 17 years, he's been there since, what, 43? Mo, that's like you going there and coaching right now, 17 years. And the young niggas say, you know what? We got to get Mo out.
That's crazy.
We got to get Mo out.
But once your employment up, it's over.
You know what I'm saying? You're right.
Well, yeah, once the employment up, it's over, baby. You know, you've made enough money from us where you can go get a health plan.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, you're a senior citizen.
Mo, y'all niggas are heartless, Mo. You don't even want the man to have medical, Mo. He should have took care of that with his money.
He can take care of his money. And three more, you know, he's 62, so he can apply for Medicare if he unemployed, you know what I mean?
Don't
go get your Medicare plan,
your
best plan.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna ask Killer. I know what he thinks. Obamacare, nigga. Didn't y'all vote for Obama?
I'm looking now at his, you're right. I'm looking now at his salary. He's making over $300,000 a year. That's a lot of money in some people's realm, you know? So, yeah, you should have been taking care of that. Join SAG, nigga. Get down with SAG. I'm down with SAG. My insurance is good. Become an actor, nigga. Get your insurance paid forever. That's how we go. I'm SAG after.
Oh, gosh.
But yeah, I'm looking at his salary. He made $283,000 with a $16,000 signing bonus. So every year you made $300,000. At 62 years old, if you got yourself situated, you may not be spending that much money a year. And to be honest, he may not get another college job. Being that Long Beach State hasn't been that good. But maybe he'll get another job in within basketball, making some. Look, if you have some basketball at this level on your resume, you can get a high school job or something like that. I'm wishing him the best. I'm not sitting here that saying he don't need his benefits, but you get what you negotiate.
Yeah. Mo, it sounds like if his hip is hurt, you don't want him to have a scooter or nothing?
Yeah, he can have it. I just don't want to pay for it.
Oh, gosh.
Reality. Let me ask you a question, Mace.
Yeah. I know Cam don't want him to have a scooter.
I would love, I don't want nobody to be out here like that. You got an artist, figuratively. He leave the label.
Yeah.
I need you to pay my rent. Yo, come on. I've been with you 5 years, man. You can't pay my rent the next 10, 15 years. What you gonna do?
Oh, that was a good one, Cam. That was really good.
That's what Mo's saying. That's what Mo's saying. Like, yo, when the show's over, the show's over. I can't take care of you after the show's over.
Yeah, you're right.
We might shoot you a severance package just to, you know, bridge you until you get to the next thing, but
Yeah, a little care package on the way out.
3 months. 3 months of the scooter until you find his own. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
You never answered the question.
Why you can't let bygones be?
Now you're quoting your own lyrics. What the fuck is it? Yeah. All right, say no more. Yeah.
Okay, that is the answer in itself. No, got it.
I help a nigga pause transition. Yeah.
So I don't believe that. I do not believe that.
Yeah, I'll help a transition.
I don't believe that. I don't believe it. I really don't. I can see murder talking about. See, y'all don't really, don't get me wrong, y'all get a truthful murder up here, but y'all don't really get the death on none of kill him, man. Oh, what the fuck is wrong with niggas? The nigga want me. No, I just be trying to figure out because nigga asked me. I ain't talking about his kids and all that. They in private school. Nobody told you to put them in there. Who told you to put your kids in private school? I'm just saying, maybe you changed. I don't know.
Okay. So, last question before we go to break. The Dodgers fired Shohei Ohtani's interpreter for allegations of massive theft. It's reported at least $4.5 million in wire transfers were sent from Ohtani's bank account to a bookmaking operation set off a series of events. What do you guys think of this scandal? Maurice first.
Yeah, it was, when I heard about it, it was making me think of two things. I know I've seen him in the past, and he's always had that interpreter with him, and he struggled with the English language, right? So anytime you struggle with language, you're going to be, you know, beholden to whoever is taking care of you or giving you the information at least, right? That was one thing. And then the second one, I was like, man, this like screams something bigger than the gambling problem that the interpreter had. It screams about athletes and handlers. And I say it all the time. I say it on here. It's probably one of the most serious things I say. Anytime someone wants you to stop thinking and they want to do everything for you, you're putting yourself in a position to be taken advantage of. And when they followed up with the dude, he like randomly found out like, I guess he's been learning English, and he randomly found out when they was having a casual conversation that the dude had basically used his money to pay off his debt. And I just thought to myself, like, man, you know, niggas will bust their ass on the court, on the football field, they'll practice everything, and they'll do everything physically. But when it comes to mentally just understanding what's going on around me, the business around me, the people around me, looking at your bank accounts and, like, I don't know how the fuck you get $4.5 million missing. That's just you not being a good steward of what you have. So I don't know. Those are two of my takes, like, in two different directions, but to larger issues. But I don't know. I don't know what y'all thoughts.
That's really interesting that you say that, Mo, because what I heard from that is that he made all this money, but wanted to become lazy as a businessman. He was great as an athlete, but lazy as a businessman. And a lot of minorities find themselves victim to that, being great in the arts or great at whatever they do. But you never really going to meet a lazy billionaire or a lazy person that keeps $100 million. So, yeah, I mean, I always believe you do business just like sex. You always be protected. And he chose to put his future in another person's hands, and that's just how it goes. What you think, Killer?
I think he's new to America. Niggas robbed you, murder.
Yes.
Niggas get robbed.
Niggas get robbed every day.
Niggas robbed you in Cuda, man. Nigga, Erskine was down there with the hammer, nigga.
Yeah, Mo, my first check I got, everybody was like, yo, use this guy. He did this, he did that. It's like we put the money we had at the time in his account. And then by the time we got back down to the building was blank. It was no plaques. It was no furniture. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, yo, Cuda was good. That's where I got Cuda school me to the game.
Yeah. Nigga Horace, those stealing niggas, Horace too.
Yeah, it was a few niggas that got us for some nigga, bread,
Cuda,
you know?
Cuda tried to throw me with Horace. You need robbing nigga Cuda? Hold on.
All I know is
trying to
was,
put my money in
know.
Beers and Stearns. Shit done fucking went bankrupt. The Beers and Stearns stocks. You remember that shit?
Allegedly, yeah. A lot of rappers that was connected with them never had their tax money. So then people think you're not handling your business when really you left your business up to somebody else. And that's probably where my thinking came from these days. I don't let people handle my business. I got to handle my business.
And I wasn't saying that tease me. Mace was 20 years old. We was brand new to money, period. So to his point, and it's a learning lesson. And no, Tani, I'm not saying he's 20 years old, but it's fucked up because I don't really know much about the interpreter, if he's American or if he came with Otani or whatever, but that hurts more if you're cool with them. When you're cool with them, you like, nah, not this nigga.
Yeah.
Now, if he was just an interpreter and you just did business with him or whatever, but you have to have some type of trust for him, have to access to your account. So that shit hurts. Nigga like me today, with online banking, I love it because I swear, and I don't want to swear to God, but I check my shit about 6 times a day. I go right in my phone, making sure everything. About 6 times a day, I check my shit. I ain't doing, I go to my social media while I'm with my, all right, cool. Then I go through my transactions. I flip out if I see $6.27 missing. Who is on Instacart?
Yeah.
okay, cool. I forgot I told you could do that. But I check my shit on my phone. This is one of the best inventions that they came up with, me personally, that you don't have to go to the bank and sit there and ask what's going on. That you can literally go on your phone and check every 20 minutes if you want. But I would say on an off day, I check 3 times a day. Because that's just, if something go down with that, I could catch it.
Yeah.
And then I got a limit. To me personally, I have a limit on my account to where if you try to get over on me, a scam, a rob, or whatever, I'm not going to say what the limit is, but you're not going to get more than this. This is most you'll steal, and I'll catch it by the time you do it. So you'll get away with X, Y, Z, whatever my limit is, but I'll catch it because I'm going to check tonight. And I'm going to check when I wake up. And I'm going to check after I eat lunch. So I think online banking is one of the best inventions ever, because you can just sit there all day and be like, this is nice. You know what I'm saying? So I feel sorry for Otani.
Yeah.
And it just really hurts more when it's somebody you cool with.
Yeah. And then just for people wondering as well, like, they actually did have a close relationship. He became his driver, his shopper. When Otani moved to the States, he brought him with him. So they were like, he was helping him do everything. Cause it's like, when you don't know English, like, what are you supposed to do?
He's from home too. He's from Asia. Like, yo, that's whack, bro. That's so whack. That's so fucked.
This is why you got to watch the handlers, ladies and gentlemen. This is why you got to make sure you don't put your life in other people's hands.
And then
he was going to say something more before we go.
Yeah, no, you literally describe everything that I probably do. Checking my bank account, going through transactions, always question everything. Mm-hmm. And it's the reason why niggas have money, and it's the reason that niggas don't. And the information you was giving, I was just saying to myself, I know people who are scared to look at their accounts, be it if they got a lot of money or a little bit of money, because they hate the anxiety and the responsibility of that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that has more to do with life in general. But as you were talking, I'm the same way. I got a limit. I'm checking. I know what's going to, I know what's coming in the account. I know what's going out the account. And it's just a good way to, I think, for anybody. I don't care who you're from or what you do, just to handle your business. But if you don't be a good steward with resources that you have, you won't have them very long.
Yeah. And what everything you guys said is true. When you're thinking about handlers, what I could say is each time somebody's ever got over on me, just like Ken was saying those two times, it was always a person that lead with letting you know that they're better to handle it than you're better to handle it. And that's what makes people turn over the things to those people, only for them to come back and do that to them. So watch out for people that try to get you out of your business so they could do your business.
Good. Okay. We're going to go to break, and when we return, we will discuss Dak Prescott. Don't go anywhere.
Pink horsepower. She called this thing about toxic.
What's happening, baby? Baby, what's happening?
Why you walking like that?
That's how I walk.
And then, like, you come on breathing on me like that.
I fucking breathe to live.
And, like, you used to be dark-skinned, and now you act like hella light-skinned.
Are you fucking blind? I'm dark-skinned. What the fuck?
And then, like, look at your beard.
The fuck is wrong with my beard?
Your beard looks stupid.
What the fuck are you talking about?
No, I don't even like it. The way you breathe in, all of that.
Has this ever happened to you? Your girl seems to be mad, angry, upset. She's frustrated. It's only one way to handle that. Pink horsepower.
But your breath is really refreshing.
No.
I'm just trying to give you a massage. Plus, have I told you how good your beard looks lately? It looks so good.
No.
PHP. It works every time.
Wait, where you going?
Welcome back. Now let's get into our Underdog Fantasy picks of the day. Tonight, the Clippers will play Portland. Underdog Fantasy has Kawhi Leonard at 24.5 points. Do you have him higher or lower? Mace?
Higher.
Who are they playing?
Portland.
Higher.
Okay. Paul George is at 3.5 assists. Do you have him higher or lower, Cam?
Higher.
Okay, and DeAndre Ayton is at 11.5 rebounds. Do you have him higher or lower, Mace?
Lower.
Bum ass nigga. That nigga playing? Thought he couldn't play. I thought that nigga got fucked up for this
season.
Thought he was
snowed in.
I thought Mace said he fell between the air mattresses.
Oh, yeah, that's the nigga that fell between the air mattresses. Yeah. Definitely ain't gonna have no 11 rebounds.
He ain't having no 11 rebounds, man.
He's still hurt.
Wow. Download the Underdog Fantasy app and you can make your picks too. We are joined back with our analyst, Maurice Clarette.
Yo, let me ask Mason more question than Larry just brought up. Do you think, because it was a good, we talked about this off. I just want to get their opinion. I won't really even chime in. Do you think that Otani's handler, Mo and Mace, is the fall guy for Otani possibly gambling, but he can't say he's gambling, because that would be bigger than anything if you hear that Otani got caught gambling? What do you think about that?
That's a good point. That's actually a good point, Mo, because didn't they buy somebody a car or something like that, Mo?
Well, Larry, no. What happened, Larry? Well, God, Mo, you know about the story?
No, I don't know about the story, but when you think about his ethnicity, and that sounds a little crazy when you just even think about just the control that people have over Chinese
go ahead, say it.
People. You know,
it's an arrangement. Pause. Yeah, I know where you're going.
Hey, yeah, it's not far-fetched, man, to think that. You know, it's not far-fetched, I'll say that.
What you think?
Now that I thought about it that way, that I could see that happening. Especially because they was already buying somebody a car or doing something weird with the money before, right?
You got to take 2 minutes to tell us what you think. Move your mic closer, pause real quick.
They bought one of the Dodger players a gift to bring them to.
I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. They brought the Dodgers player a gift. That brought him there, right? So that's one thing. But number two, I'm going to say this, and this might sound a little racist, but Chinese people are notorious big-time gamblers. If you look around, man, go in some of these rooms in these hotels, they're notorious for gambling. And I'm just saying, I don't believe that guy was able to take $500,000 each time and pass that on. I think the story is Ohtani's gambling. They said the guy didn't gamble on baseball, which I can believe that. But they don't want another Pete Rose. And you can't have a guy who just signed for damn near $1 billion get caught up gambling.
Okay.
But didn't he, what was the car he bought?
So what happened was one of the players kind of enticed him. And so he kind of helped bring him to the Dodgers. So the wife and them went and picked out like a Tesla for a Rolls Royce or something for
I do remember that.
Yeah, yeah. They bought him a car, a nice car. It wasn't no bullshit car. So, I mean,
basically,
they know their finances.
Basically, what Larry's saying is this. The handler that they're talking about, he was part of the reason Ohtani came to the Dodgers. So they bought him a car on the strength of just putting that together. Ohtani's wife or somebody bought him a car. Just for bringing
No, I'm sorry. Okay. No. It was one of the Dodgers players.
Okay.
The Ohtani's family bought the Dodgers family's wife. So somebody else, not on the Dodgers already. And what I'm saying is they bought him, the wife and the husband. I just don't believe that, oh boy, got access to the accounts like that.
Okay.
I just don't believe that. I believe big cover up here, in just my opinion. Yeah. Asian players are notorious. Haigao, baccarat, gambler. Yeah. They gamble.
Yeah, I ain't.
Yeah, the money moving funny.
Too much.
And I'm not a gambler, but when I watch Casino,
yeah,
that Asian guy that they got on the plane and won that money, they wouldn't let him leave. He wouldn't
they brought him back to the hotel.
They brought him back to the hotel, man.
So I just want to make this clear too, because we did previously talk about this about the teammates. Wife, but she was the one gifted the new car.
Yeah.
So you're saying
somebody was gifted a car.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, and all I'm saying is, I just don't believe it. It's too much. $4 million, and he doesn't know $4 million is gone. I mean, he got paid a lot of money. The bigger story here is Ohtani's the one doing the gambling. I don't believe it.
Allegedly.
But listen to this: most superstars. Michael Jordan, they gamble, man. Oh, look at these stories. Michael Jordan, when old boy slapped him, he slapped Tyrone Hill. Not Michael Jordan, but Charles Oakley. Why was it over? He owed him money.
Look, to wrap this up real quick, it's a good point. Athletes aren't really supposed to gamble, and it wouldn't make sense that all this is allegedly, but I kind of get your theory, and I'm not against your theory.
Yeah.
Especially with that amount of money.
Okay. So now we're going to discuss Dak Prescott. Right now, Dallas is slightly reworking his contract to reduce cap hit. The reworking of the contract included adding two more voidable years in 2027 and 2028, which pushed Prescott's salary cap number in 2025 up slightly to $40 million. So my general question is, when do you guys think it would be time for the Cowboys to start looking into another quarterback option? And do you believe they have too much confidence in Dak Prescott as their quarterback? Maurice first.
oh, once you just told me the terms of what they're doing, they're looking for him right now. I think that they looked in free agency and it was like, you know, there's nobody out here. I don't know what pick that they have in a draft, but they're probably thinking like, you know, we probably can't get one of these young guys coming up, or, you know, you don't know if you want them depending on how they'll shake. But if you're putting a contract together and you're giving yourself the right to have two voidable years, and what you're doing in exchange of it is probably giving him more money for the year that he knows he'll be here, where you're probably putting pressure on him, pause, to say, yo, if you don't get us to the fucking conference championship or take us to the Super Bowl, we're going to go ahead and, you know, aggressively pursue somebody else. I think that they're doing it. But, you know, Jerry Jones, a businessman, you know, there's nobody in the market that we can get. Let's give this dude more money so his agent quits complaining. Let's let him know he got two more years that, you know, if you do good, we can, you know, bring you back. But if not, like, we can be done with you. And I think that's where they're at. But they're definitely looking for a new quarterback, you know, right now.
And to answer your question, they have the 24th pick in the draft, by the way.
Yeah, there's no quarterback who's going to fall. Yeah. I think that out of these young guys, I don't think they'll fall that far.
Yeah, I agree that they're looking for another quarterback, but I think they could do this a much better way. I wouldn't even change his contract. I would definitely try to just find somebody that's eager to take him in a trade. Because I believe when the writing is on the wall, to just sabotage more seasons, it's not worth it. You know, when you know they're not going anywhere, it's not like they're going to win if you keep them around. And I think right now is the best you'll be able to get for a Dak Prescott. If you wait later and then he lose another season, it's like, I don't know where he could go, realistically. So even though they're freeing up cap space, is the time to make that trade is now.
I don't do homework on the Cowboys, so could y'all explain this to me a little bit more? Is he getting more money? Is he taking less money?
He's getting more money.
So the Dallas Cowboys are giving Dak Prescott more money.
Yeah.
How's that freeing up the cap?
They're giving him more money. Go ahead. They're giving him more money or offering him more money for the year to agree. So it's like, next year I'm going to give you more bread, right? But I'm going to give you this new contract and I can void 2 years after that. So they're basically like, we'll commit to you 1 year, but we have the option to get out this arrangement these next 2 years. And so he doesn't like it, but that scenario puts the pressure on him to either perform. And if you don't perform, we out of here. It makes it sound like, yo, you can go ahead and just trade him since he has some value.
Okay.
And then, like, as he was talking, I was like, who the fuck do you trade him to? Right. But they're basically trying not to commit a long-term contract. So they have that money freed up to basically go get other pieces for their team.
Okay, now, yeah. I totally understand that.
And the reason why I was saying that, because they did the trade to bring the other young quarterback over there last year. So if you get rid of him and get another superstar piece, that probably will be better and it save you more money.
Hypothetical question. Who would you think Dallas could trade for? Or who do you think Dallas could trade to get for Dak Prescott?
There's a few people that's on the move. We was talking about Odell Beckham yesterday.
No, I'm talking about quarterback.
Oh. It's not many, but I wouldn't trade for a quarterback because I would be looking to let the young boy play. He just came from
You ain't got to trade for Odell Beckham, no. He's a free agent.
Yeah, I was just mentioning one of the players. When I think about, you know, the young quarterback that you got there, if you're already moving in a new direction, let's see what he could do. It seemed like the young quarterbacks have been brilliant the last year or two.
This whole scenario is stupid, you know, to me personally. I feel Jerry Jones, though, man. Jerry, as much as we act like we fed up with the Cowboys, I think he's fed up with the Cowboys. Yeah. Just as an organization, not as an organization. He, year after year after year, he pushes the franchise to be top three franchises, if not number one franchise in America, not just football. I'm talking about baseball, football, basketball, whatever, the Cowboys. And it's like, yo, bro, I'm doing my job. When is somebody else going to do their job? God damn. Now, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw this nigga a little extra bread because I may not even want to fuck with him in another 2 years. So the nigga can't even say that I ain't look out for you. Bet on yourself. I think this is one of them situations where we're going to throw you some extra bread, but it's a really bet on yourself situation because we could get you the fuck out of here. But my personal opinion is I just feel bad for Jerry Jones because, it's years ago he said, oh, you're always firing your coaches every year. You're firing your coach every year. Then he sticks with coaches. And that doesn't work out. And then people want to get paid. Oh, you need to pay Ezekiel Elliott. He's running. He's doing his thing. He pay that man. He pays the nigga. Then he starts stinking it up. Oh, Dak Prescott, he didn't get paid. They need to pay him. He pays him. They have not been to NFC conference game yet. My bad, Jerry, man. God, come on, my nigga.
Yeah.
Come on. Jerry Jones, you could spit it one time. I know you was in there with them in them pictures in 1960s when they was busting school kids to school. You get two. Come on, my niggas. Because them niggas is fucking up the franchise. I feel you. I feel you, man.
Yeah. I still think Dallas is in a weird situation because, I mean, their backup quarterback is Cooper Rush. And then the backup is Trey Lance, who was with the 49ers, who did have an injury. So I don't think they have too much faith in him as of right now. But realistically, with Jerry Jones being 81, I don't even think he would be even remotely ready to let go of Dak Prescott. I think that is his little project. And as he's getting older, he wants to see it through before making any other changes realistically.
But to be honest with you, Stat, and that's a great, no disagreement.
That was good.
That was great. But realistically, and I don't know if you was too young, but you seem like you've been keeping up. Your father, matter of fact, you're not too young. Your father got you in the loop since
you're young.
Niggas ain't really want Dak to bust the move to be the star quarterback. Jerry Jones was so Tony Romo'd out. He was like, yo, he's coming back, so I'm back. But Dak Prescott was playing so good that they like, you can't bring Tone back. This nigga balling. Like, you never know. But niggas didn't want to have Tony Romo be the backup quarterback because it would have felt disrespectful.
Yeah.
But Dak was always like the backup quarterback. He was playing good when Tony Romo got hurt, and they never brought Tony Romo in. Tony Romo was his real project. He loved that Tony Romo nigga, man. Yeah. He loved that nigga.
That's
baby.
Who he went out with.
Yeah, he loved him. It was just Dak Prescott was forced on him.
Yeah.
Because you got to think about this. And I know some people in Dallas, and they always used to say, and like I said, Dak Prescott got in a good position because Tony Romo, pause, was hurt. But until prior to Dak Prescott, a lot of black people in Dallas, I can't say a lot, the few that I know, let's say that, used to be mad because they say that no matter what, that city always wants a white superstar. They had Tony Romo, they had Troy Aikman, Dirk Nowitzki. Now you got Luka. Dak may be in the way.
Yeah, if you think about it, Snoop helped him get that money. I remember Snoop was campaigning for him on Instagram. But shout out to Uncle Snoop.
Yeah, and I'm not here to be racist or none. I'm just saying black people that I talk to in Dallas, they, you know, it could be conspiracy and just that they super duper blackish. But he always got a white superstar. Why we got a white superstar? And this was during the Tony Romo era and Dirk Nowitzki era. So that was their little conspiracy theory.
Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing, too, before we move on, kind of like Maurice asked, like, what quarterback would be in a good position? I don't even know because Cowboys fans right now seem to like Dak Prescott. But truthfully, I still kind of feel like the only quarterbacks that they really could have reached for was Justin Fields before he got moved to the Steelers from the Bears, or even Kenny Pickett before he got moved to the Eagles from the Steelers. Like, besides them, if you want a starting quarterback in that position, there wasn't really many options, and like them having the lower draft pick in the draft. I mean, they're not going to get like a Jaden Daniels, definitely not going to get a Caleb Williams, JJ McCarthy, none of those options. So they kind of have to work with what they got. So to answer your question from earlier.
So you're still a fan, right?
Maybe.
Would you accept that Prescott for Russell Wilson and the other backup?
To take?
Right now.
For us to have Dak Prescott
and
their backup Cooper Rush? Or Trey Lance?
No, I'm saying, and you would trade. Would you swap? Pause. What Dallas have for?
I don't want what Dallas got at all. I don't think any Steelers fan wants what Dallas got. I'm gonna let them figure that out over there because we're trying to figure out what we got going on over here already. So Dak, I don't think is gonna make our situation any better. So I'm cool with Russell Wilson. I'm cool with Justin Fields. Two projects that I think will be exciting to see when the season comes around.
Now you're excited for Russell Wilson.
I am optimistic.
He's declining.
I am optimistic. But
Get the tape ready, Nick.
I'm very optimistic. We'll see what happens. But I still said what I said about Russell Wilson, but we got to see, y'all. That's all we can do. Wait and see. Okay, so Kobe Bryant's father, Joe Jellybean Bryant, has put Kobe's 2000 Los Angeles Lakers NBA championship ring up for auction. Bryant gifted his parents his first ring, and the Bryants reportedly considered selling it in 2013, along with other several pieces. Does selling his ring make sense to y'all? Just up front like that. What do you think, Maurice, first?
Nah, I think it's crazy and fucked up that he's even in that situation where he has to even sell the ring. And I naturally go to, his wife and the fortune that she's inherited, right? And even though Kobe wasn't on the best of terms with his family, you know, I don't think his mother or his father should be in any situation where they're selling anything to put money in their pocket. And, it just make you think like, I don't want to say he's rolling over in his grave because I don't know that to be a fact. But I wouldn't want my mother, my father, whoever was to birth me, brought me in this earth, whether I'm on good terms or not. You know, it's people I help out now. I got a lot less than what Vanessa Bryant have, but there's people who I've helped that we haven't seen eye to eye sometimes, but I don't want them people to be fucked up in any regard like that. So I don't know. I think it's kind of crazy, fucked up, and unfortunate. But it seems to me like they were right about her. You know what I'm saying? And so that's just my personal opinion.
So is it verified that they're selling the ring because, and I want to ask that before I make this statement, is it verified that they that Vanessa Bryant in the Kobe estate is not doing anything for the parents?
It's not verified. I'm going off of hearsay of what I've seen on the news. But my logic was, why would you be in a situation even selling a ring? Right? If you don't need something, people who sell should be fucked up. You know what I mean? That's just my understanding. If I'm wrong, I'm man enough to say that I'm wrong if it comes out later on. But this was just my assumption.
Yeah, so we're just speaking hypothetically. So when it comes, the reason why I say that, because history has shown a little bit that Kobe and his parents wasn't on the best of terms because of their relationship. That's what it seems like in the public and from news that I've read in times past. And I think that could play a part into why they're selling the ring. You know, sometime with family members be so hurt by other family members that your family could sometimes do you the worst. And it could be worse than what you would get in the street. So, and as much as that don't seem true, if you look back at even Kobe's funeral, his parents didn't really speak much at the funeral. So all of that plays a role into what we're seeing right now. We will have to definitely find out, why weren't they talking much in the funeral? You had everybody else speaking. Why weren't they speaking? So it lets you know that there's some inner working turmoil in that family. But like you said, it could be that they feel like she turned them against the family. So this is real a touchy situation.
Like Mo said, everybody know Kobe wasn't fucking with his parents. Kobe wasn't fucking with his parents because his parents wasn't fucking with Vanessa. Met Vanessa at a young age. They told him, you bugging out. You don't need to get with this girl. You're going to meet 100 girls. He went against his parents, ended up meeting Vanessa, ended up being his wife. We didn't hear too much about her scandals or fucking other niggas or anything else or running the streets, anything. So I get it, as a parent and you have a young child in the NBA and you're trying to look out for him, but Kobe chose this girl, and this girl, as far as I know, held him down and never got caught cheating. Kobe got caught cheating and she didn't leave. And she could have went divorced and tried to get half of it, and she stuck with him. He bought her the $4 million ring when that happened as a gift, but she could have got more than a $4 million ring. So I think that over all these years, there's still been animosity towards her for the parents. And look, she may have some animosity towards the parents as well. Like, yeah, you thought I was one of them, and I'm not one of them. Like now, you know, it's a messed up situation because they don't get to see their grandkids. They don't have any communication. If it was a cool situation, then Vanessa could sit there and say, look, I'll buy the ring. Give me the ring. Or I'll send you a little bit of what's coming in my way because she inherited everything. So I'm not blaming her really because she may feel like y'all thought I was a hoe this whole time and I wasn't. And y'all snubbed me. Not only snubbed me, snubbed your son. Not only snubbed your son, don't have a relationship with your grandkids. And now, you're auctioning your son's ring. So two things with that.
Yeah.
It's even like Mo said, maybe they need the money or maybe they just like, we don't want to even have a reminder. I'm going to go with Mo and say they need the money because me personally, even if you want to sell the ring, it didn't have to be done publicly. It's so many people that love Kobe Bryant that have money that this could have been under the table that could have got done. This shouldn't have been a public issue, but it turned into a public issue. And I ended with this. Go to what Gilbert Arenas said, you know, and not about this situation, about would you rather have $300 million and no championship or $50 million and a championship? And Gilbert Arenas like, I was Googling NBA championship rings. I'm just going for $6,200 right now.
Yeah.
Give me the $300 million and no rings. Sorry, I switched topics. Like, it made me think about it. Like, the fuck is the rings worth? If Kobe ring is 94,000, a regular nigga that was on the team shit is 2,200.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's my take on that.
Yeah, the whole thing is crazy. And it is weird that it's a public situation. The only way that this would make sense to me is if it's being placed in some like honorable museum that's going to be kept forever. Like it should just not be in anybody's hands. That's how I feel about it. So hopefully.
Why wouldn't Vanessa buy it though?
No,
I don't think if it's in the public, they don't have a relationship.
Yeah,
they just don't.
Yeah, but y'all see where I'm coming from when I say have y'all ever done anything for somebody who didn't deserve it? And I think that's kind of like what I'm saying, like getting to a point in your life where you do something for somebody who don't really deserve what you're doing for them, but you do it out of like you being a decent human being and them not being a piece of shit. You know, like, I don't know if I said that right, but you get the gist of what I'm saying.
No, I get what you said too. And sometimes it's fuck you forever.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
This is a real sensitive situation.
And I'm not saying that because I don't want people to say that's what they're doing. But for me, Kim... The only man I'm apologizing to right there, my nigga. Outside of that, everybody else. People fuck about y'all niggas. Family, friends, whatever. It's over. It's to the end with me, nigga. I don't care. I'm not apologizing. But I dig it, Mo. My bad, man.
No, that was really good. I'm going to say something that probably really be really controversial, but I want you to think about this. When you think about the Bryants as a family, right, as a husband and as a father and as a mother and a wife, when they say, I don't want this for my daughter, I mean, oh, I don't want this for my son, could it be that they saw that this wouldn't end out well? You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes as a dad, and I don't know how you guys, I would want to hear how you think. As a dad, sometimes you just know that this is not going to end well. So that's another way to look at it. Like they could have been saying this whole time, yes, you love her, but this is going to go down a path that's not going to turn out well. And we're looking at that.
What I'm saying is I totally disagree. Not what you're saying is because what I'm saying, I disagree with your point. And I would be protective of my son. We said that about Jalen Green, like, where's his parents at?
Yeah.
You know, but the thing about it is she turned out not to be a Drea. He met her at a video shoot. So niggas was thinking she's going to be a video vixen. But the whole time she was with Kobe, I ain't hear no scandal about her. I mean, and I could be wrong. I'm just saying.
No, what you're saying is 100% right.
Right.
I'm saying these two points are able to be right. What you're saying is 100% right. What Mo is saying is 100% right. It's like stat. When they say the biggest decision you're going to make in life, other than your faith, is the person that you spend your life with. So even though she didn't cheat, let's say she didn't cheat, it's just, it went down a path that didn't end well. You know, I mean, regardless of how we look at it, it didn't end well. He's not here.
I get what you say.
What I'm trying to say is decision. It doesn't make her a bad person. But if I join, it's just like me, right? If I married a woman in Vegas, my life would be different today. I married somebody in Mississippi. It took me down a whole different road. Doesn't mean that it's the woman's fault. I'm just saying decisions take you down paths. It's a crazy point, but it's really is some truth to it. Because he's not here. Just like me, right? Mm-hmm. I'm here with you.
Right.
Me and you don't speak for 20 years. Mm-hmm. Soon as we get back together, something big happens. That means that my destiny and your destiny was connected. There's some people that I met one time. Every time I do something with them, it goes wrong. Doesn't make them a bad person. Our destinies are just not together. So there's people that you meet that they could take you off your journey somewhere else and you'll end up with a different outcome. Doesn't make them a bad person. But these two people were not meant for each other, but they still chose to go with each other. Does that statement make sense? Not that she's not. Do you understand the concept?
I get it, but I also feel when you say destiny, he had four children by that woman. Three are still here. God bless the dead.
Yeah.
The other three are still, I mean.
I get what you're saying.
Those are blessings.
No, I'm not saying they're not blessings. I'm just giving you the idea.
I get it. I agree with Kim.
I understand what he's saying.
Yeah, what I'm trying to say is your destiny, like when you're put on the earth, there's somewhere you're supposed to be.
Right.
But you could pick any place. That's just like me, right? I took my life, I was doing music, right? And I said, you know what? I'm not gonna do music. I'm gonna go over here, right? Mm-hmm. So if I go over here and all of this bad stuff happened, no matter who I met over here, I wasn't supposed to go that direction.
Okay.
All you get to do in life is pick your choice, but the consequence, you don't get to pick.
I get it.
I understand that part.
Deep shit.
Yeah.
Real deep. It's gonna go over like a lot
I could
of
go
sense.
Out. I could go out right
Church
now.
On Friday, stat,
I could
right?
go out right now and get a woman pregnant, and we have a beautiful child. That still don't mean that's what I was supposed to do. That's what I did.
No, I get that. I get that a lot because, and not to the scenario, right? To make and this is not as deep as Mace is going, right?
Yeah.
No matter what, we all in this room right now.
Yeah.
No matter what you did in your life, no matter what she did in her life, no matter what Nick did in his life.
Yes.
It all led to us being in this room right now. Mm-hmm. No matter what. No matter if she's making $2, I'm making $3, he's making $4, you're making $2 billion. Yeah. Everybody, no matter what, is here right now. And Mace got deeper than that, but to put it on a general spectrum. This tonight on whatever date this is, we're all here at this very moment, no matter what path you took to get in this room tonight.
Yeah. Is there such thing as life and then there's destiny. Those are two different things. Like you, every person have something they supposed to do, but then they don't have to choose that. And that's what makes it your life. Like you could be meant to be something great, but you can decide something different. As we see people do all the time. But you always know the right decision because it's the end result that tell you you made the right decision or that wasn't the right decision.
You don't know until the end.
You'll know at the end.
Did you make the right decision leaving rap?
I did. Everything now that we see playing out was all the things I escaped. The car, the shine, the loan, the Puff Daddy, the Craig Mack,
Biggie Smalls.
So even though I made those decisions and it cost me money. That's why I got with Killer and they gave me the money back. I didn't lose no money. Destiny.
That boy good.
That boy good.
That boy good. That boy good.
That boy good. That boy good. That boy good.
Nigga, son. And that's why he makes the big bucks.
That's why he makes the big bucks. That was crazy. Yo, I couldn't have planned that. See, that's why it's destiny. You asked me the right question and we at the right place. This is how it's meant to go, man.
What I do, baby.
Thank you, Killer.
Sound like the coach from earlier.
Likewise,
thank
man.
You, Killer. Man,
thank you,
on
man.
National TV. Yeah. Thank you, Killer.
And thank you, too, Murda. I appreciate it, bro.
Yeah, for real.
There we go. Well, on that note, that is all the time we have for today. Maurice, thank you
Yo,
for
Mo,
being
thank
here.
Thank you again, man. We appreciate you, man.
Mo!
Hey,
you brought
I
the
love,
best out
hey,
today.
I love this so much.
Appreciate yeah. you, man. Love. Shirt fire. The glow.
Hey. Thank you all for watching, and as always, it is what it is.
Two Big Macs, like when they doing them two for five.